Thank God for you and for all of us for this day. Please find a seat. Today there should be no shortage of seats. Quite a few have left for Awana Genting. So please do find a seat now and kindly be seated in case there are still some who have not forgotten to put their instruments to rest. Kindly do so. The Lord was good to send me, together with Mrs. Toh, to the land of Terengganu. You wonder what we were doing there. When I was asked to speak to the group in Calvary Jaya, I did not know that their campsite was going to be the place in Terengganu. So the Lord sent us there, and we had four blessed days in a place called Awana Kijal. So remote, I think most of you have never heard of this place. But the Lord was there, and He used the 4 days for fellowship. 100 from Kuala Lumpur or Petaling Jaya, and 50 from Kemaman, which is in Pahang. Those Christians are worshipping there. Every Lord's Day, there is the Kemaman Bible Presbyterian Church. Did you know it existed? Most of us maybe have not heard it. But these things do encourage us to know that when you go and sow a seed, even in the remote place north of Mersing, Kemaman, on the east coast of Malaysia, a group has grown up under the care of God's servants there, Dr. and Mrs. Wee, and others who are ministering there. So we studied the Word, we encouraged one another, and there were many blessings as God's Word is preached. I was surprised to find an American couple there, sitting among the audience. And so after the first meeting, I went and had a talk with them. I said, "Where do you come from?" "Oh, from Houston, Texas." "So what are you doing here?" "We are with Dow Chemicals, doing oil exploration and research." I said, "How come you come to our meeting?" "I say, I come from the Houston Bible Presbyterian Church." I said, "I never knew there was a Bible Presbyterian Church there." He said, "Oh no, I am sorry," he corrected himself, "we come from the Reformed Presbyterian Church, which is very close to Bible Presbyterian." So these are the little surprises, the pleasant things that happen. I said, "We came just to hear the Word of God." So happy to hear the Word of God. Are you happy that we have the Word of God preached to us? And I want to say thank God that in the land of Malaysia, we still have this freedom of preaching, freedom of worship, which is not available in many places in China. But here in Malaysia, thank God. Now I have a little chorus for us to sing before we go into the main topic. And this reminds us of our wonderful heritage. Oh, the love that sought me, oh, the blood that bought me, oh, the grace that brought me to the fold. Wondrous grace that brought me to the fold. Most of us know it. Those who know it, those sing louder. Those who don't know it, learn it. So we hear the music. Ready? Everybody.
Oh, the love that sought me. Oh, the love that sought me. Oh, the grace that brought me to the fold.
I love this song.
along for 70 years. So good. When led by Dr. Johnson, the unique song leader, because he always had a little white handkerchief and he did this. Oh, mine is not white. Anyhow. Okay, let's try it. Oh, the love.
Oh, the love that for me. Oh, the love that for me. Oh, the grace that brought me to the fold. One great grace that brought me to the fold.
What are the words? Love of God, so wonderful, unsearchable, that comes to us through His only Son, that He spared not but gave Him freely for us all. That is the love that God showed to us. Oh, the blood, the price paid for your redemption on the cross, you can never exhaust its power. Only come and be cleansed in that blood. Anyone here who has never experienced that, come today as you sing, oh, the grace that brought me to the fold. Wondrous grace. God never demanded a price. You cannot buy salvation. You cannot work for it. You can only say, Lord, thank you. Let's sing this.
Oh, the love that sought me. Oh, the blood that bought me. Oh, the grace that brought me to the fold. Wondrous grace that brought me to the fold.
I think we can do better. Everybody is singing full power today, this time. Ready, go.
Oh, the love that cost me. Oh, the blood that cost me. Oh, the grace that brought me to the fold. Wondrous grace that brought me to the fold.
Let's hear the ladies only, huh? Ladies, please sing for us. Oh,
the love that brought me. Oh, the grace that brought me to the fold. Wondrous grace that brought me to the fold.
Without looking, everybody together.
Oh, the love that sought me. Oh, the blood that bought me. Oh, the grace that brought me to the fold. Wondrous grace that brought me to the fold.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for singing. Please pray that God will bring this hymn, this song, this chorus to remembrance through this week. The topic for this morning is God's judgment is not with respect to men and persons. And for that, to understand it better, please turn to Hebrews 9, chapter 9, verse 27. Hebrews 9:27. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. I read this again, and you read it with me together, please. Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Once more. And as it is appointed unto men once to die,
But after this, the judgment, we oftentimes neglect or forget to talk about judgment. But that is what we are going to do this morning. And it is in the text we read earlier, and I want you to turn there now, 1 Peter chapter 1, and then we shall focus on the few verses we have read from 1 Peter chapter 1. We shall read again those verses, and from them, please, as we read, as you listen, keep praying in your heart. Lord, Holy Spirit, help me to understand. Open my heart that I may receive the truth. And in receiving that truth, I will be blessed. Verse 14. 1 Peter 1:14 says, as obedient children. This is Peter speaking to you. Peter speaking to us. This great apostle who denied the Lord 3 times is always remembered for the 3 times. But thereafter, for 3,000 times, he witnessed for his Lord, never again denying his Lord, never again letting down his Lord. Now he's so faithful because he realized how frail and how undependable himself was when he trusted in his own strength and conviction, which is nothing. Now he says, to you, to me, verse 14, you, obedient children, are you? Ask yourself, bought by the blood of Jesus, redeemed into the family of God, am I an obedient child of God? Read on now, please. Not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. It says here, you as obedient children, not fashioning, change it to programming. Now you understand, don't you? We all understand what is programming. Ordering your lives, programming your lives. We all have a certain lifestyle we live. Surely, what is your lifestyle? Verse 14. Not planning, programming, ordering your lifestyles according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Think back. Those days before you were saved, or even after you were saved, there are those who backslide into the world and begin to do the things of the world, and to live like the world, and not realizing the kind of blessing you are missing, and thinking that those pleasures in the world are the good things, so foolishly. Verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. This doesn't just refer to your vocabulary, to the way you speak, but it refers and includes the way you live. Conversation. How do you live as a child of God? Is there a difference? Ever since you received the Savior into your heart, has it made a change in your life, in the way you fashion your life, the way you program your life? Is there a difference? Verse 16. Because there is a reason. Now you are a child of God. And the word says, be holy, for I am holy. Who is the I? Who is he? The Heavenly Father, God. And since you have come into the family of God, God, as your Father, has a fatherly care over you. And He is very concerned. Are you concerned? More important, are you grateful? Are you listening to Him every day? And He says, it is written, I am holy. God is holy. But He, in grace, comes to us as the Lord Jesus. a man suffering for us, so humble in order to reach out to us that we can reach to Him. But remember, He is the Almighty God and He is holy. We who follow Him are to imitate Him. Follow after Him. Verse 17. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Here I want to take you back a little with another OHP. Today we have three OHPs. This is harking back to Hebrews 9:27, which we read just now. As it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. Appointed. Now this is the first word that I want to impress upon you. As we sit here comfortably, be ready to receive this instruction from God's word. Reappointed unto all men to be born. That one is, he said, obviously. Yes. But I want you to understand this. It was appointed of God for you to be born. You and I, none of us here ever planned to be born. Please understand this. We came into planet Earth because God appointed. So we are responsible and answerable to the great God who appointed for us to come here. And if He appoints for us to come here, there must be a purpose. For God does not do things haphazardly and without any purpose. So that is the first point. Appointed. Go home today and write in your diary. It was appointed. I was born on this date, this month, this year. How? God appointed. And my time on planet Earth is not indefinite. There is a certain lifespan. Again, appointed of God. That one day I have to depart from this place of sojourn. What place of sojourn? Singapore, of course. You say, well, I don't like Singapore. I migrate. You are still a sojourner. You're still a pilgrim, a traveler on this earth. We all are strangers. Please understand. Don't let anyone here think you are a permanent citizen of the planet Earth. None of us are permanent. We all are appointed here to be temporary residents. Indeed, we are all travelers. The day will come when it is appointed for us to die. Did you ever think of this? Well, I think of it practically every day. Because I realize the days ahead of me, firstly, are limited, numbered, and there are still many things I need to do. The work that God has given to me has yet to be finished. Therefore, I count my days. Every day I number my days. Do you? You say, I'm still young. I say, it's never too early to start. All right. Appointed to die. You ask yourself, Lord, when is it? And what does the Lord say to you? Be ready. It's not for you to know the day or the time. But be ready. How can you be ready? The first thing is to know, I am appointed to be here. And when God calls me away, I have no way to delay even that appointment by 1 minute. True? Absolutely. Appointed to die for what after that? The many people are very foolish. And they say, death ends it all. After that, zero. Nothing to worry about. I said, that is the time you start to worry. If you are not in Jesus Christ, that is a very worrisome thing. You must think of it now.
appointed to die to face judgment. Oh, my friends, remember Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed unto men once to die, only once. Isn't that merciful of God? Then we don't have to die many times. I was with a very dear friend yesterday. I was told by his son, "Father is in the hospital." I made straight for the hospital. Glen Eagles, okay. I met him, and he is not well at all. I spoke to him. I've spoken the gospel many times to him. And I said, "My dear friend, trusting the Lord, the moment you breathe your last, you will be in the place so wonderful that you wonder, why did I wait so long to come here? God is gracious to receive you into that home." You know what he said? "But I'm not worthy." I say, amen. I say the same, you say the same. To recognize that you are not worthy and come to the Savior is the first step in your salvation. Praise the Lord. He is not worthy. He knows it, but he is clinging to the Lord, for he said, "What will I do without Christ?" Praise the Lord. Appointed to die. After that, judgment is coming, dear friends. So that is the first point. The second word to impress on you is judgment. Now we go back to the text. 1 Peter 1, verse 17. Please follow your Bible. Let the OHP stand where it is. Stay on the wall. Verse 17. What does verse 17 say? "And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, you pass the time of your sojourn here in fear." What does this verse tell us? It says this: if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons, according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. You call on the Father, recognize this. Father is also judge. Right? Is that new to you? Did you realize that when you come to Jesus, to be called a child of God and to receive into the family and call God Father, He is not only a Father, a loving Father, but He is your Creator. He is your judge to come. Our salvation does not just stop there and say, "Now you are saved, a child of God, you go to heaven." There is another event that you must be ready for, and that is judgment. All right, are you ready for it? You call Him Father, well and good, but do not forget, He is also a judge. Now, the word judge must convey different meanings to different people, but I say you all got to know one meaning. A judge is a person in authority, with authority. Have you been to any of the law courts? I'm told there are 3 degrees of law courts: low, high, middle, and high court. In every place, there is one who sits there as judge. And a judge is a powerful person. Within the court, he is the power. He has authority. Where does his authority come from? From the government of Singapore, from the president, he is conferred power and authority. You are a Christian. You call God Father. Very well. Remember, God the Father is equally the judge, sovereign ruler of the all universe,
and your judge in particular. Do you know him? A judge is a solemn person. When you go to court, you do not smile at him. You have to stand very solemnly, correctly, appropriately, respectfully, reverently, and stand before him. Why? Simply because he's judge. And I say, if the human judge in a human court, like in Singapore, you have that kind of situation, that kind of atmosphere and environment, and you stand there shivering, reverently, wondering what the judge is going to say to you, how much more our righteous God, our Heavenly Father, the judge of all the earth, is to be revered, to be respected, to be honored, and to be feared. Feared in the holy sense. Now let's see this. There is judgment appointed, and we all must think about it, prepare for it, be ready for it, and qualify for it, so that when you stand there before this judge, you will be found faultless. God judges without respect of persons. Now what do you mean by that? God does not judge you because of certain personal qualities that you may have. Respect of persons. You come before God like the Jews in Jesus' day, many of the Pharisees and the righteous Jews, the self-righteous Jews, they will always think, we are sons of Abraham. And that's good enough. When we go before God, they say, God, you called Abraham, didn't you? Abraham is the favored father of all the race. We are Jews, sons of Abraham. That's fine, that's good enough. What do you think? I was again talking to another friend and talking about the day of judgment. And this friend said to the one who was sick, you're all right, you're Anglican, you're all right. I said, dear friends, God judges not because you're Anglican, not because you are Bible Presbyterian, BP, you're all right. I said, no, you're not all right. Simply to say before God, Lord, I attended Calvary Pandan in my day. And I was never late, never absent, always reading my Bible faithfully. Lord, BP is all right, isn't it? Judgment of God says, no, it is not all right. You don't say those things. There are some who say, I attended the convent school. I was in a Methodist boys' school. I heard all about the gospel. I'm quite a good fellow, you know. I'll go to heaven. Ever heard of that? Oh, there are so many other ways of personal qualification. I spent $1 million this year in charity, giving to charity. Surely I will be all right. When I appear before the judge, I say, Judge, I gave my money to the poor. So the judge will say to you, so what? I don't need your money. How does God judge you? Without respect of persons, don't brag before the Lord and think you have merit or any kind of credit because of yourself, what you have done to merit your salvation. But what? God's judgment is according to every man's work. 1 Peter 1:17. Now look at this verse. Now you will understand. If you call on the Father, skip the next phrase, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Now you will follow. Just drop the middle phrase. I read this again to you. If you call on the Father, you call on God as your Father, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Now gives you a more direct understanding of what this verse is saying all about. If you come to Jesus and receive Him as your Savior, now you call God your Father, you must then pass the days, the time of your sojourning here in fear, and live a different lifestyle from before. Where does it say? Verse 14. Go back to verse 14. You are an obedient child, yes. Do not fashion yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. This is what it says, according to every man's work. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. In fear of what? In fear of offending God. This is what it says. Alright, back to verse 14. Be an obedient child. Be obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Are you ignorant? If you are, confess your sin, ask the Lord to illumine you. How? How do you get illumined? By reading the Word of God and by obeying the Word of God. Now verse 15, continue. As He who calls you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of life. Are you? God is going to judge you on that day according to your work. Every man's work. What kind of work? Not your going to work every day from 9 to 5. Not your secular work. But the way you live. The way you conduct your life. The way you order things, the way you think, the way you do things according to a motivation. How is it? Read on. Verse 16. Because now you are a child of God. You profess to be a child of God. Be holy because your Father in heaven is holy and you claim to be His child. You must substantiate that claim by living like the Father, holy. Alright, this is the second OHP.
Now, one reason why you've got to live holy life is here. The third word is redeemed. What was the first word?
Appointed. You're appointed to be born, to die, and to be judged. And second word is, judgment is coming. Are you ready for it? Are you worthy to be judged? And the third word here is, redeemed. Now let's see. Verse 18. Let's read please. For as much as you know, you were redeemed not with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation that is your godless lifestyle, your previous worldly way of life, received by tradition from your fathers. But, verse 19, please see. You are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Amen. Now you know and understand what it is to be redeemed. You are redeemed with the blood of the Lamb. Who is the Lamb? Remember the day of the Passover, the night of the Passover in Egypt? Every Israeli house had to kill a lamb, a special lamb, without blemish. And that lamb represents our Lord Jesus Christ. And that lamb had to be killed, bloodshed, collected, and painted over the doorway and over the side post of the door. Every Israeli home had to have this blood. And that saved them from the angel of death that night. That is the blood of the Lamb. A foreshadow of our salvation. We have safety, we have salvation because of the blood of the Lamb over our hearts. Do you have it? There is no other way you can be saved, dear friends. No other way. If there were another way, I would have told you. But the Word of God is truth. So, do you have the blood of the Lamb cleansing, washing, purifying, to make you a child of God? Verse 18, please follow me. For as much as you know, do you know? Do you really know? If you don't know, today you know. Know what? Know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things. It's not money, silver or gold, but you are redeemed from your vain conversation, that is, from your worthless, sinful lifestyle received by tradition from your fathers, because they live like that, you live like that, and you think that's all right until the gospel came. Then you know you're living in sin. Now you change. Now you come to the Savior to have your sinful lifestyle cleansed away. Blood of the Lamb only can cleanse you. Verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Verse 20. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but manifest in these last times for you. Pause here. Please follow now. The blood of the Lamb, the Lamb of God that takes away your sin and my sin, is no accident, is not a last minute thought, but God from before the foundation of the world had one plan, one and one only. God foresaw our sinning, our falling into sin, our being destroyed in death. And God thought of this one infallible, the only effective, powerful plan to redeem us. What do you mean by redeem? Buying back. Buying back. A little boy was playing with his sailboat in the lake, and the sailboat sailed away because the wind changed, and that boat was lost in the lake, gone. A week later, he and the father walk by a second-hand shop and see in the showcase of this shop the boat for sale. What do? You ask the shopman, "I lost that boat." Say, "Yes, I bought that boat. Someone found the boat far away and brought it here and sold to me. You want it?" "Sure, I want it." "Pay the price." You pay the price, you get your boat. Now the boat is doubly precious to you, because first you owned it, you lost it, now you pay a price for it. We were lost. Lost forever in sin, until God came to us and paid the price with His own Son's blood, shed to buy you back from Satan's grip. We are redeemed in much the same way. God paid a price. That price is not money, not like buying the boat. That price is the blood of Jesus, to buy you and me back to the fold of God. How precious is our salvation. Do not think it is so simple, so cheap. It is free, but not cheap. God save us, redeem, with the blood of the Lamb. Jesus Christ is the Lamb. Without Him, you have no salvation, no way to come back to God. With the blood of the Lamb. Now remember this, as we come to the end of our message. You are redeemed from eternal suffering and former lustful living unto. Never forget the second part. The first part is important. You are redeemed from eternal hell, from eternal suffering, and from your former lustful living. Whereas once upon a time, before you came to Christ, you lived like the world because you were ignorant. No more. When you come to receive Jesus Christ,
You are redeemed by the blood from your evil lifestyle, lustful living. No more. Stop it. Don't let any Christian be found living in sin or any kind of sinful habit, whatever it is. It is not becoming of a child of God. You know it, and you must obey the word of God for your safety. Now, you are redeemed from those things unto godly living. Please understand, this is the complete gospel. Do not take the first part and forget the last part. God saves you for a purpose. God redeems you, pays the price, that you stop the lustful living and come unto God for godly living. Now let's read the verse again. Verse 19 and 20. Redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Yes, what a wonderful plan. God's plan is from eternity ready to be launched for you and for me, but was manifest in these last times for us, for you and for me. Verse 23, in closing, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, may Thou speak to some hearts here today, some who claim to be children of God, who have been redeemed and washed with the blood of the Lamb, and yet perchance have fallen back into sin. May Thy Holy Spirit work a mighty work and speak to such hearts and turn them back to Thee with gratitude to repent and to live holy life. For Thou hast said, be ye holy, as I am holy. Let us all learn today, O Lord, by this lesson, to live to the glory of God, the life alone that is pleasing to God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.